Welcome, everybody. Good night. Good night. Good evening.
This is your host, Warner Hipopka. Welcome to SharonDiamond.com. Tonight here is on Parsha Shalach. Just to share with everybody a few insights on the Parsha. We know at the end of last week's Parsha, Miriam had spoken about her brother Moshe, and as a result was stricken with Tzaras. But the Pasuk says that Klal Yisrael would not move until Miriam was able to journey together with the Jewish people. We would not leave Miriam behind. And it's interesting that when we go back to discussing the topic of Tzaras, it is the Kohen, not the doctor, that designates the person with the with identifying whether or not the person has Tzaras or not. And the question that we always ask is, why shouldn't it be the doctor? He's well more suited to describe the conditions than a Kohen who's always involved in spiritual matters. The answer that we've given before in the past, and I think it's really a segue into Shlach itself, is that the Kohen is an Oyev Shalom, Verodev Shalom, and since the person, you know, loves Jewish people and he always wants to draw people in the Karv Matorah, he wants to bring them closer to the Torah observance, you want that person who loves you so much to tell you that you're not allowed in the camp anymore. A doctor may be mechanical in his operations, and he may just be telling you what he knows from past experience. But the Kohen, although he is fully engrossed in spiritual matters, is also giving some heart into his determination, because it's very difficult for a person who loves people and wants to bring them close to the Torah to actually distance a person from the camp of Israel. And so that's the reason why the Kohen is selected to do this. And it's also very fitting that the Jewish people were not able to leave until Miriam was able to rejoin the camp. Even though she could have caught up to the rest of the people, Klal Yisrael waited in deference to Miriam. So there's a lot to be said about the onset of Shlach. Obviously, everyone that makes decisions, as they say, if you make a decision, you got to live with it. But the Bedichever, the Kedushas Levi, brings down something interesting in which he says that when a person approaches any matter, they should seek out the spiritual elements of every matter that they pursue. That means that even if you're in a secular environment, you have to be thinking, what spirituality could I infuse into this particular environment? What can I do that would make my parents happy, that would make my Rebbeim happy, that would be consistent with the Torah ethos? So therefore, Shlach refers to Shlach, get rid of, send away all of the tendencies or the nuances of Gashmias, in order that Lecha, you, can rise to the level that you should rise to, meaning you have great potential. You have to be able to accentuate that, but only if you're able to search out the Ruchnias and Shlach, send away the Gashmias. Then, when the Pasuk says, the Sora Saharet, the tour of the land, it sounds that you're going to fail, right? If somebody is going to tour, they're not going to be inclined to do anything spiritual. It's going to be very Gashmias driven, which is exactly the message in disguise, that the message is Basur really should be read as Latorah, that when a person goes on a mission, they should be seeking to infuse it with Torah. And that's a recipe for success. But rather, just simply Basur, SRS, just simply just to pour, is not going to bring about success. It's going to bring about failure. And how do we see this accentuated later on in the Haftorah? We find that when Yeshua sent out the Meraglim, the term there is, that's used, is Lachbar Esaret. Why is it that in the Torah we refer to the same mission as Lasur, but in the Haftorah by Yeshua, it's a different term called Lachbar? Because when a person travels, the route that a person takes is often exposed to many elements that are not Torah-based. So the Jewish people, when they went onto the land was embarrassed before them. When the Meraglim went onto the land, when the time of Yeshua, they brought with them the Mesoras HaTorah, which means, as we will say in Parshas Maaseh, Eila Maaseh B'nei Yisrael, the Maaseyam, the Motzeyam, the Motzeyam, the Maaseyam. The understanding there, and it's equally apropos here, is that they went on Mem Beis Masos. Mem Beis could also be read as Beis Mem, which is Voracious Me'emasai. So they infused the land with Torah Shebaal Peh and Torah Shebaktav. And as a result, the earth was embarrassed. And that's what it means, Lachpar Es Ha'aretz. that they literally uprooted the ground that was in front of them. And that's the reason why, during the time of Yahushua, Kibush Eretz Yisrael was successful, and they were able to conquer the land easily. However, there may have been something missing with the engagement of the Meraglim in this parsha, because they may have been looking for something, or may have been demonstrating a certain attribute that may not have lived up to the fullest potential of what they were able to really achieve. And that's the failure of the Meraglim. And I think that's really accentuated later on when they said that we were like grasshoppers. Asked the Kedusha Slavi, what do you mean grasshoppers? Well, you're jumping from one spot to another spot. If you're able to see the Nisim that occurred during Makas, the Choros, and all the preceding Makos, and then if you're able to see Yetzias Mitzrayim, and then you're able to see Kriyas Yamsuf, and then you're able to get Kabbalah Satorah, and then, you know, you have the Man and the Slav and all these miracles. So why does a giant look like a giant before you? In fact, they're nothing. When Hashem creates as something as an obstacle, it's not an obstacle at all. It's not something that can challenge us that we're not able to succeed. We have to believe in ourselves that we can succeed. And if you look at the state of Israel, and you look at all the nations that surround it, you would say, kechagodim, that it doesn't look like it's anything with anything. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu infuses that this is the time in history when there has never been so many people learning Torah in Eretz Yisrael, which of course creates a Shemira for Klal Yisrael, and that's the Shemira that we hope will always be perpetuated, and that's the confidence-building measure that we have to instill in ourselves, that even if we think of ourselves as sometimes very small, like Nemalim, Rashi says, like ants, so Shlomo Melech said, go look at the ant, and you'll learn from the ant how to behave. The ant is they're always industrious, creating three levels, one where it stores the food, one where it sleeps, and one where it toils. The ant is never at rest and is always lifting weights that are one, two, three times its own body mass. And so that's Klal Yisrael as well. We are the people that have to continue to work on ourselves so that we can demonstrate all the great things that we have in store for one another and, of course, for ourselves. And with Bracha Batzlacha, we shall be blessed with a happy, successful week. This is Mordechai Blatz in Elizabeth, New Jersey, wishing you the best. And have a great night.